I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cue It Up Podcast. I am sorry that it has taken so long, but I was going to come out with an episode last Monday, and the International Open was starting, so it didn't seem right to make a podcast at that point when such a huge event was going on. I figured I'd just wait till it was done. But don't let me be rude. Let me introduce my fantastic guest, Mr. Cody.
Not much, Nate. How are you doing?
I am doing lovely. And Cody is joining us again this week because Rob is still out with his health concerns. He is doing better. He is getting treatments, aka shots in his neck, which sound absolutely miserable. But they are working to a point, he says. He's had three sessions and he's having one more in another week and a half. And he is hoping that by the time that one happens, that he will be back to 60-70% of himself. So at that point in time, he said that he'll be happy to come back on the podcast, but right now he's just too bummed out with not being able to shoot any pool, and he just doesn't want to talk pool when he's not feeling right. So our thoughts are with you, Rob, and we are hoping for a speedy recovery so that we can get you back on the podcast in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Robin, if you're listening, I'll do my best to fill your shoes.
Well, I will guarantee you that he's not listening. We had a conversation last night, and he said he's made it through 1.5 episodes since we started this podcast. Not bad, huh?
Yeah. Fine, Rob.
That's dedication right there. So I guess we can skip over that now and head into the stuff in the beginning of the podcast. Somebody ordered a t-shirt, and I'm pretty sure his name was Manuel Cotto. I'm hoping that you are a regular listener to the podcast. I have reached out to you and sent you an email. Basically, the color of shirt that you wanted is sold out now, and I was hoping that you would be able to let me know a different color, and I would send that out to you ASAP. I know it's been a little while. I was hoping that you would see the email, but if you have not seen the email and you want to reach out to the podcast and pick out a different color, I can get that shirt out to you ASAP. While we're on this topic of shirts, if anybody else would want some, or if anybody would want one at the Moscone Cup, I will bring shirts to the Moscone Cup if there are people that have a desire to have them. So if you want to have a t-shirt out at Moscone Cup, let me know and I will bring one out because I will be there, and Cody, you will be there too.
Yes, I will. And you know, for anybody who hasn't picked up a shirt yet from Nate, they are very nice quality t-shirts. I think I have maybe five now. And you know, I'm sure I'll get another one from you out there in Vegas.
They're like soft. They're so soft. I wear them all the time. They're so soft.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. So I mean, we're maybe a little biased, but I really think they're awesome shirts. So with that being said, Cody and I actually do plan on doing a podcast out in Vegas, assuming that you're still up for that, Cody. This was actually your idea, and I love the idea. So we are actually going to do daily updates of the Moscone Cup while we're out there, and we're just going to basically give feedback for what happened and what's going on in the match, trend lines, anything that's going on behind the scenes that you would have to be there to know. We are going to basically just give a in-person rundown of what's going on. Cody, you're still down for that, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'll be great.
And that was a genius idea, by the way. So,
thank you.
Kudos
thank you
for that.
Sometimes I come up with a good one.
Yeah, let's not get carried away. It's average at best. And I should apologize. I'm a little sick and a little under the weather, so if I sound a little weird, don't make fun of me and write bad reviews. I won't sound this terrible all the time, hopefully. Maybe I do. I don't know. Regardless, I guess with that, we can go to our two shout-outs for the week. Cody, would you like to go take it away?
Yes, Nate. My shout-out for the week, I'd like to shout-out a guy that's very active on Facebook and social media. when it comes to sweating any matches, running Calcuttas, doing drawings even for just some excellent looking cues. I think he's done a ton of BK rushes. He's done a lot of different things. His name's Molina Mike on Facebook. If you don't follow him or are not friends with him, you know, if you're into sweating some matches or getting into some raffles, he is running that stuff all the time. And some of the Calcuttas he's ran for the International Open, the Dismal Swamp, they had just a great turnout. It's just crazy seeing online, you know, how all this can happen, and you don't even have to be there at the event like it would have, you know, before all social media, you'd have to be there. My shout out's to Molina Mike.
That is a great shout out, and I will echo that. I follow his stuff as well, and he is a very good follow. If you do not know who he is, you should probably head over to Facebook and follow him. He always has good stories and good action. My shout out this week will go to Eugene Liu, and he is the mastermind behind the Qist, who I have partnered with recently. And he has been, so if you've been around the Facebook page, the Queued Up Facebook page, you'll notice that I am posting quite frequently, usually once to three times a day. And that is not actually me, that is Eugene. And he has been posting awesome stuff with snooker and pool and even billiards. And he is really posting some awesome stuff that keeps everybody up to date with what's going on in all of those disciplines. And I personally love to see what he has posted. I've always loved what he's had as far as content, which is why I wanted to partner with him, because his reach probably wasn't what it should be for how great of stuff that he posts. And I think that's evidenced by a lot of the posts that he's had now with the podcast. So I thank you, Eugene, and he is actually going to be hopefully coming onto the podcast next week to introduce himself and kind of give a rundown as to who he is and what his goals are with the game and what he wants to do with it. So you can look forward to that next week. And with that, we can go into the rest of the podcast. This is fun, huh, Cody?
Oh, sorry. I muted you. I was going to say, I said, yeah, I'm having fun now that the shout-out's over, because that was the part that was stressing me out the most.
I can't believe you muted me. That hurts my feelings.
I did. Well, because I was typing on my computer. I didn't want to hear it all typing.
You don't want us to hear you pounding away?
Yeah, like the two fingers on each hand, chicken pecking.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Well, anyways... So we are going to skip over all the Wisconsin stuff. It's 2 weeks since we've done a podcast, and I think most of the, with all of the big stuff that's going on at the international and national level, I think we're going to spend this podcast really focusing on a lot of that stuff. I will say, congratulations to Justin Eilenfeldt and Barry Chapman, for beating our faces in the tournament last week in Sheboygan. And they actually went on to win that. So congratulations to you two. And Russ as well, of course, but I don't think Russ listens to the podcast. In fact, I don't even think Barry or... I know Justin listens, but I don't even think Barry does, but...
Or doubles?
Yeah, it was a three-man team. 18-25. Oh, three-man, okay. 18-25 Fargo. And...
Okay.
Yeah, I actually didn't... I actually committed to play about 2 months ago and completely forgot about it. And my teammate, Mark Eifler, asked me on Tuesday... if we were still going and if we wanted to ride together. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, aren't we playing this weekend? I'm like, no, I don't think so. So that's how prepared I am. So if you're upset or if anybody is like a little sad that podcasts aren't coming out as soon as you'd like, first off, I'm sorry. And second, there's a lot going on my plate and I can't even remember I'm supposed to be playing pool, which I probably shouldn't have been, but I went and I had fun and it was great because I haven't hardly been playing, and I showed it with my game. I played like dog, but that's okay.
That is that's a good thing to hear, though. You still went. You still had fun. You still enjoyed it. You still, you know, even though you might not have done like what you expected, you know, that's the idea.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get away for a weekend and, or at least a day, and get out of the school scene and kind of reset back to normal life.
I think there's a lot of players at our level or in between where we're at, that, you know, if you just focused a little bit more on that part of it, you know, the outcome may be a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. So we will skip over the Wisconsin stuff this week, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be okay with that if you're not from Wisconsin. So maybe this, if reach out to the podcast if you prefer this, and reach out to the podcast if you are upset and want to hear more of Wisconsin stuff. I've been tossing this idea around for quite a while now of removing the local Wisconsin stuff, and I haven't really heard anything from either side giving any hints towards it. Whenever I ask for people to reach out to the podcast and give the thoughts, I don't really get much response. So if anybody wants to help influence the podcast to be more towards your liking, do not hesitate to reach out at any time. I appreciate all of the support, and I want to make the product the best that I can for everybody who supports it. So if you find yourself with some free time, please reach out and let me know your thoughts on this. But since the last podcast, there has been a ton of stuff going on. So we will attack it, I guess, in maybe sequential order. After the last podcast, the last two players were named for Team Europe. And rounding out Team Europe is Joshua Filler, Eklanti Kachi, Alexander Kazakis, Niels Fine, and Jason Shaw. Jason was the fifth player and the second coach's pick to make the team. And there was, at the time at least, a little bit of controversy, like, that he maybe didn't deserve the last spot, and maybe a player like Fedor Gorst or Ruslan Chinnikov or maybe even an Albin Ocean deserved it over top of him. And actually, I would make the argument maybe David Al-Kaidi as well, because it just seems like that dude shows up to every major. He only plays seemingly in the major events, but he's always in the top, you know, four or five players. He's so solid when it comes to those big events. And I thought maybe he deserved a little nod as a possibility. But regardless, Jason made it. And there was a little bit of controversy that maybe it could have been somebody else. And then that was kind of just destroyed by the showing Jason has had in the last basically week, which we'll get to in a little bit. Cody, what are your thoughts about Team Europe? And do you think that they made the right decision with the five? Or do you think that you would have placed anybody else in there?
I think David Al-Kaidi is the only one that I could see maybe adding a little bit more talent or especially experience in one of those positions of the younger guys. But I mean, when you hear those five names together, that's a good team regardless with the five that are on it right now. We got our hands full.
There is definitely some crazy talent that's on that team. And if you just take the ages of the players that are, I mean, Niels is no spring chicken. He's in his, I want to say he's in his mid to late 40s. I could be wrong on that, but I think he's mid to late 40s. Jason Shaw's in his early 30s. But then the other three are all in their 20s and not late 20s. They're in their mid and early 20s. But I guess when you look at the U.S. side too, which we'll get to after this, they're pretty young as well. Especially now that, again, we'll get to this, now that their fifth player has been announced, which I guess, spoiler alert, you probably already know by now, but in due time, we'll get to that. The European side just looks really solid from top to bottom. Do you think that there's any weaknesses possibly on that team that could be exploited by Team USA, or do you think it's just going to be, you know, relying on the pool gods to give us some roles to have a chance?
With guys that shoot at that caliber, it's hard to find the weaknesses. But, you know, when I look at the five, I guess, you know, Alex Kazakis is the first one that comes to my mind of not necessarily, falling apart or anything like that, because he is like, what, number one ranked over there or something. He's winning a lot of things over there.
Yeah, he was. I think that's been taken over by Joshua Filler now.
Yeah. So, just seeing him last year in the Moscone Cup, you know, he struggled a little bit. And if he's not able to get over that hurdle, you know, that's gonna hurt them as a team for sure. And, you know, I'm sure he's been working on it since then, obviously, because I know I saw interviews of him after last year's Moscone Cup, and he was just devastated with the way he played or the decisions he made or what happened. It was something he was going to practice, and he was going to work on what he needed to. But for the other ones, the other guys, I don't see how we're going to find any other weaknesses other than we need to, when we break and we make something, we need to get out.
Yeah.
Or be smart and, you know.
Yeah, play a lockdown safe.
Yeah, and it's the other thing with Europe, and it's crazy how they get out of those safeties too, you know. The safeties, I think, we just need to be a little bit tighter, a little bit closer to the ball we're trying to hide behind.
Yeah, especially with, Joshua Filler just jumps so well. And Eklanti Kachi, I mean, they all just jump like crazy good.
Right.
As far as your Alexander Kazakis statement, call me a homer. My favorite player in all of the world outside of the U.S. is Alexander Kazakis. I just love him so much, and I think he's just so great for the game. He's such a level-headed kid, and he's got more talent than just about anybody. And I just love his drive for the game and his passion for the game. And he's a true gentleman on and off the table from everything that I've seen. So I'm going to push back on you and say that I think Alexander Kazakis is a dark horse for winning the MVP if Europe wins. I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope you're correct that they do win. You know, I really do hope that he is the MVP. I'm not saying by any means that I don't like him or don't want him to do good. It's just, you know, that was the only thing I could see being a weaker link or something happening. And again, if it wasn't the Moscone Cup, he doesn't make those mistakes he made last year, guaranteed. So, you know, I definitely, like you said, every interview, anything I've ever seen him post or anything, it's always been, you know, very humble, he seems like a very nice guy.
Yeah. So I guess we can move on from there, and we can go to the Dismal Swamp Classic. And as we kind of hinted before, Jason Shaw is the winner of this event. He wins in the single elimination final, which seems like a lot of tournaments are going to these days, and I kind of like it. I know it kind of sucks for the person who wins the chair, but I mean, I guess if you want an advantage, you don't have to play to get back to the championship. So I like this format quite a bit, and I think it's more viewer friendly when you know that. Don't get me wrong, because a blowout in the finals is boring no matter what, but it's really, really boring when you see a blowout and you know that the match is going to start again right after it's done. You know, if it's 2 races to 9 instead of a single race to 12, and, you know, let's say Jason Shaw's up 9-1 or something like that, you don't even watch from there on out. You just, you know, basically wait it out until the second match starts. And I think a single elimination is, in my opinion, it's just more exciting from start to finish, even if it is a blowout. But like I hinted, Jason Shaw wins over Dennis Grabe, who's had a pretty good showing the last few weeks as well. He's had some strong showings in this and the International Open, which we'll talk about next. Roberto Gomez gets third place, and Shane Van Boning gets fourth place. Fifth, sixth goes to Jalon Hauser. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but I've never actually seen him, that name, before, so I'm not totally sure. And John Mora. Josh Roberts, an American, gets 7th-8th with Alexander Kazakis. And there was just monsters all over this field. Getting 9th through 12th is Sky Woodward, James Aranis, Chris Melling, and Nick Economopoulos, which is quite the difficult name to say. It's quite the mouthful. Those damn Greek names, I tell you.
See, and I'm part Greek, so that's why, to me, it looks pretty easy.
Well, you're on your own there. Yeah. I can't name that. I guess you watched a lot of this. I glanced in and out from time to time, but I didn't have a ton of time to watch it. Did you want to talk about anything that you saw while you were watching?
Yeah, you know, as it comes, like, in regards to the players and the matches, I don't really have a lot to mention other than, you know, just Jason Shaw's performance. Alex had a great performance up until when he lost. You know, the one thing I noticed that I'm seeing in these tournaments was that 3-point rule, you know, on the 9 ball or with the break. Man, that can really crush somebody's break. if they make a ball and the two balls don't get past the head string, and then the other guy's sitting there looking right at the next ball, he has to shoot in.
And yeah, we can actually talk about that a little. For anybody that doesn't know what the 3-point rule is, it basically means a combination of three balls need to cross the head string, or three balls need to get pocketed, or any combination of those. And if it's not, it's an illegal break, and it's your opponent's turn at the table. This has been now, I guess, used in two straight events. What do you think of the rule?
I don't mind the rule because I understand what it's doing. It's taking away the soft breaks or safety break type play. So I don't mind the rule. I just know one of the tournaments, I think it was the International Nine Ball Wimpen, they had it like modified. And correct me if I'm wrong, it was the International Nine Ball or the Dismal. But one of them had it modified to where if you made two balls, the third ball didn't need to go past the head string. If you made one ball, two balls still had to go past the head string though. So there was a modification to one of those tournaments. And again, you know, that was the one where the rule like was just known by all the players when they showed up. They didn't even know that ahead of time. They thought it was just a standard 3-point rule. I believe it was the International Nine Ball.
That would be a more player friendly rule regardless. So, I mean, that I can't imagine that the players would have a problem with that one.
Yeah, I just, you know, on social media, I did see, I guess it was more of the people that were, like, sweating it and, you know, had some action on it that were complaining about that rule change or the rule just being announced when the players got there. I think Jason Shaw mentioned something about how he was practicing, you know, the way the standard 3-point rule is. And then to find out if he just practices to make two balls, it doesn't matter if anything passes the line. I don't see it. You know, I guess I'm not at that level. I don't know how that affects their practice routine for the week prior to this match or to this tournament. I mean, but obviously it does something if some of them are going to voice their opinion.
Yeah. And maybe it's just, maybe just part of it is pool players being pool players. And, you know, there could be something to it. I guess I'm not really sure because I'm not at that level either, but I, for the most part, don't have a problem with this. If you're going to be a professional player, you're going to have a big break. You don't get to that level without having a successful break for the most part. I mean, there's definitely levels, don't get me wrong, but there's almost nobody who can't go up there and, you know, 19 out of 20 times successfully break given the 3-point rule. Does it come up on occasion where it's just a fluke break where it just seems like everything that's going up table gets killed by something else? Yeah, that definitely happens, but I would like to think that over the course of time, that's not going to the law of average is going to kind of average that out to where everybody it happens to everybody enough, and I don't think I've ever actually seen it happen more than once in a match. I've seen it definitely happen once, of course, but I don't think I've ever seen it happen to the same player in twice in one match, and I'm sure it's happened several times like that. I just haven't seen it. I don't know if it costs players matches. I don't think I've ever heard of, you know, that being the only factor that, you know, made a player lose a match. And because of that, I think the positives outweigh the negatives with that rule. And it kind of keeps the game a little bit more exciting when you don't see people just going up and kind of, you know, early 2000s Corey Duell soft breaking the 9-ball rack where the, you know, you're making the one in the side and there's four balls that move more than 12 inches, and it's just basically peck, 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 table run. So I kind of like the rule. It adds a little twist to the game and kind of gets the break a little bit more randomized, seemingly, which is always more exciting to the viewers. Yeah. So is there anything else that you wanted to talk about for this one before we move on?
No, I'm good on the Dismal.
Okay. So now let's move on to the International Open, which, spoiler alert, Jason Shaw wins too. And he wins in kind of a spectacular fashion over a new player on the scene, Max Leshner. And he is kind of playing in the shadow of a couple of other Austrians, Mario He and Albin Ocean. And I had heard of Max before, but I'd never really realized that he was like this quality of player. And I think that's kind of the general consensus around the pool scene. If you had heard of him, you didn't think that he was necessarily ready for this kind of tournament. I would like to think that this is going to be his game going forward, because everything that I saw about him, both as a pool player and both as a competitor off the table, really, really shows, you know, that genuine European class and, you know, sportsmanship to his game that is... It's really nice to see with a lot of the younger European players, and he's, you know, right in line with that one. Everything about his game was both classy on and off the table from what I saw. I was really impressed with his game and where he kind of just jumped out of nowhere, seemingly to one of, you know, a top player in the world.
And to add to that, with top player in the world being, you know, Jason, did you look back at the bracket and see who he had to get through to get to that point, even to play Jason?
Max, yeah, he went through an absolute ringer of players.
Yeah, he went through just the big names that I noticed. You know, Sky, obviously, he beat Sky 11-4. I see he beat Shane 11-10. And then he beat Dennis Orcolo. He beat Ko Ping Chung, you know, and then Josh Miller, 11-8. That's just crazy. I mean, to think he went through those players to get to where he was at, and then have it 11-13 loss to Jason Shaw is just, you know, it just shows what kind of player he is.
Yeah, in order, he beat Sky Woodward. He beat some Martin from the U.S. I'm not sure who that is. And then he beat Nguyen. And then he beat Shane Van Boning. And then he beat Dennis Arcoyo. And then he beat Ko Ping Chung. And then he beat Joshua Filler for the chair, and then loses to Jason Shaw 13-11. And I watched the finals, and Max could just not get his break going against Jason. And Jason got some rolls, and he really did outshoot Max. Max didn't play his best game in the finals, and Jason played about as good as he could.
Yeah, it's great to see another name up there, you know.
And another name that is adding exactly to the direction that we want to take pool, I think.
Absolutely.
So rounding out the rest of the tournament, Joshua Filler gets third place. Justin Bergman gets fourth place, which is extremely important, which I'm sure a lot of people know. But if you don't, we will get to that in a couple seconds. Ko Ping Chung gets fifth place with Alexander Kazakis. Alex Pegulayan and James Aranis get seventh, eighth. And Darren Appleton, good to see his name up on top of a bracket again. Thorsten Holman, Francisco Sanchez Ruiz, and Dennis Arcoyo get 9th through 12th. So I guess we can jump into the biggest news, I think, of this week. And that is the naming of the rest of Team USA, which is rounded out with Justin Bergman. And for anybody who was not following closely the U.S. Moscone Cup team, Shane Van Boning and Sky Woodward were both named to the team during the U.S. Open. Tyler Steyer was then named third about a month ago, I think after he won the Kremlin Cup. And then Billy Thorpe was named about a week or so after Tyler. And then the last spot was basically being held up until the end of the International Open, which was obviously this tournament that just finished. And it was supposed to be, or at least my thought was, it was supposed to be between Corey Duhl and Max Eberle. Max Eberle was the last supposed to be runner in the Moscone Cup team when he beat Justin Bergman out of the double round robin back in Vegas before all of the traveling that Team USA was doing with going over to China and Moscow for the Dream Challenge. And I guess I was under the impression that it was between those two. And after Justin Bergman had this finish, the team, or Johan, the captain of the U.S. team, ended up choosing Justin Bergman over Max or Corey. And that was, I guess, audience to a little bit of backlash on Facebook and a little bit of happiness. I guess, did you have any thoughts on it first off, right off the bat?
You know, at first when I first heard that it was that Justin got that last spot, you know, the first thing that went through my mind is how did that happen? You know, just because of the boot camp that they've been going through and Corey and Max being in it, But then I let it sink in a little bit, you know, and that, I know that boot camp has now become sort of a normal for Team USA, you know, with last year being the first year with Johan and doing that. And then this year, you know, just they want to stay with what works. So they did it again. But, you know, it sunk in a little bit, and I started to think, I was like, you know, maybe that's just something we perceived, was that whoever goes to the boot camp, it's going to be only from that group of people. The five are going to be chosen. This just shows that wasn't the case at all. You know, Corey and Max did, I'm sure they did all they could to lock a spot on that Pony Cup team, and you know, it just wasn't enough for Justin's performance, or however Justin impressed Johan. It's, you know, anything can happen, but again, I doubt anything, there was anything in writing saying that it had to be from that group of people, which is, you know, just the impression that all of us have sitting here watching it happen.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on board with that as well. I kind of echo what you said. I thought it was, I don't want to say a little shady, that they kind of dragged around Corey and Max this entire time with the understanding that it was going to be one of those two. And I haven't talked to either one of them specifically. I actually did reach out to Max today, and he's going to hopefully come onto the podcast very soon for a podcast. Awesome. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know, though, I guarantee if you tell that same group of guys, the ones that are on the Moscone Cup and Max and Corey, if you tell them the same thing next year, they're going to do everything they can to get on that Moscone Cup team. Even though the last place went to Justin, who didn't go through these boot camps and didn't travel with the team everywhere. You know, they're competitors. They want to be on the Moscone Cup team. That means a lot to them. It's they're going to do whatever they can, regardless if there's that little, hey, someone else could be picked, even though, you know, you're going and doing everything you can to make it. You know, there's maybe they just need to look and see what they need to work on to get, you know, to take that spot from, or take that last spot, how it happened.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, you know, Johan's put a lot of thought into that boot camp, and the guys traveling together is what I've noticed. And I tell this to everybody I talk to about the Moscone Cup, is these guys that they're traveling together. I see them on social media all the time. They're having a good time going to these tournaments together, whether they're playing singles or they're playing as doubles or whatever it is. They're enjoying it now. You know, they've become better friends outside of pool as well. And I'm really just hoping that, with Justin not traveling with the team, not doing all that stuff, that when it comes to his double matches and, you know, just him jiving with the team, that it doesn't affect US. And I know Justin's an outstanding shooter, and he literally can bear down in any situation, but I just hope as a team, it's still, everyone's able to stay together and play together.
Yeah. And I do want to address that in a second, but I want to kind of expand upon my thoughts on this a little bit more before I jump into that. And when I first saw this, I kind of thought, like, that's shady, like I said earlier. And then I actually did a little, I read the article that they posted online, and I won't go through the entire article and read it, because that would be terrible podcasting. So, but I do want to read basically a paragraph or two. And basically, the article says, during the International Open, two things occurred. One, the Europeans showed that they are in great shape, conquering the first three places. And two, only one American was able to rise to the occasion, which was a player from the original challenger group, Justin Bergman, beating John Schmidt, Hunter Lombardo, Leo Rentang, Albin Ocean, Alex Pagulayan, Thorsten Holman, Shane Van Boning, Ko Ping Chung, and coming in fourth. This was a run that was hard to ignore. Not only the place he finished, but also the list of absolutely world-class players he beat made us decide that he would be a real addition to this year's team. It was incredibly hard to make a decision like this. On paper, it might look like the obvious choice, but I had to eliminate two great players who fought hard and traveled the world in order to make the team. I know it hurts and doesn't do justice to Corey and Max Eberle. I am very grateful for their efforts and their input, but in the end, I'm not in the business of keeping everyone happy. It is my task to create the best possible team in order to have a chance to repeat our win, which will be hard enough in any case. That is incredibly damning to Corey and Max, but the honesty is absolutely refreshing for a change. You do not see this in any other sport. It is always the most PC answer you could ever get when it comes to football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. You're always walking the fine line of being politically correct and never throwing your players under the bus. Kudos to Johan, but he absolutely lit a fire under Corey and Max. He basically, you know, they are not the player that Justin is or anywhere close to the talent. And I mean, this statement says it enough. But in the end, I'm not in the business of keeping everyone happy. It is my task to create the best possible team in order to have a chance to repeat our win, which will be hard enough in any case. That statement basically speaks for itself. It is crazy that he is that honest, but it's absolutely refreshing. And given that statement, I am 100% okay with this decision after I read this article. I mean, in a sense, he's right. This is about creating the best team possible to basically compete with Team Europe. And I don't think you're going to find too many people, at least that, you know, don't have a dog in the fight, that are going to argue that Corey or Max are a better talent or a better player than Justin Bergman at this point. Assuming that Justin Bergman can keep his head on right, and I think anybody who knows him or what he's been through in the past couple of years knows what I'm talking about. But, you know, at that level of honesty is refreshing, and I 100% back this decision after reading that article.
Yeah, I did read that as well. And, you know, that was again, like it happened with you. That was a part that sort of just said, okay, it makes sense what he was doing now in a way. And of course it's, you know, somebody's feelings are hurt, you know, or going to be hurt. I don't know. It's so nice to hear somebody say the truth. You know, like you said, you don't get that very often anymore.
No. Not at all. And with that being said, going back to what you were talking about with the team chemistry and the actual role this might actually play on Team USA, and I think that what you brought up is absolutely credible and absolutely possible. I don't know how the players will react to this. I don't know how they feel as far as whether or not they find this all credible and fair. I did talk to a couple of them today, and I am not going to go into details about what we talked about because I told them I would not do that. It was a confidential conversation. But I do not know how this will actually approach some of the team camaraderie that this team has actually built over the past basically 3 to 4 months of traveling the world together. Like you said, I mean, they've been spending all of this time together, and you see their social media posts, and they're cheering each other on in events, and they're congratulating big wins, and you know, they're constantly, you know, if they're not playing in a match, they're constantly watching, you know, their teammates and cheering them on, and you know, rooting for them, and you know, there's a lot of team camaraderie built over the last few months that I don't know that it'll be translated now with Justin. I believe that Justin brings a lot more talent and is a welcome addition to the team as far as, you know, on paper, putting together the best team. I don't think you can find a better team out of the U.S. than what's been built here. You might be able to argue around the edges, but I think it's pretty clear that at least four of these players are the top four in any order you want to choose. And I mean, barring any sort of kind of chemistry miscues, which we will not know until we get to Vegas, I think that this is the best team that they could form.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So I guess, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about with this?
No, I'm excited for this day, you know, when we fly out there. I'm just excited for that week to be there, to do the podcast with you out there as well, and just see how everything goes. And you've been to this before, I haven't, so, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'll take you under my wing, baby birdie, and show you around. Don't worry.
It's a young grasshopper.
So with that being said, actually, I would like to discuss a little bit more about actually going out there and what that's going to mean. If you are a firm fan of the podcast and you're going to be out there and you would like to come on to the podcast any sort of day, I will be running a type of, I don't know, I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do something, and I'm going to find a way maybe to maybe run some sort of, I don't know, maybe sweepstakes. Maybe if you buy a t-shirt, you get put into a drawing or something. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but regardless, I'm going to try to find a way to get some of the fans who have been supporting the podcast on to chat with Cody and I, and find ways to incorporate some of the fans into the podcast that are going to be out at the Moscone. So if you are interested in potentially joining the podcast for some exciting Moscone Cup episodes, feel free to reach out to the podcast or just stay tuned, and I'll come up with something that will create a way that we can try to get some more listeners involved with the podcast. Other than that, I guess we can head to the end of the podcast. So we're running a little long, so we won't do a discussion topic, but Cody, would you like to give a tip for the listeners?
Yeah. Give me a second.
Okay, well, I will go first then to give you a little more thinking time. So my tip for the week is going to be if you are a league player, I know that a lot of people are a little down on league, and it's a lot of it's because it's just a small sample size, right? I mean, you go, you play your 3 to 6 games a week, and you know, maybe you lose 4 games one week and then you win all 6 the next week, and it just seems like there's no rhyme or reason for anything that goes on in league, and it's all because it's a small sample size. I mean, think if you went to a pool tournament and only played one match, and you know, what would that really tell you about where your game is progressing? It's really hard to really, you know, create any sort of like improvement scale or whether or not you're getting anything out of league. But if done correctly, league is actually an extremely good petri dish for being able to work on your game. You only play 5 games, and it's in a controlled setting, and you get plenty of time in between games usually. And it really allows you to break down your fundamentals and work on one thing every single night. And, you know, whether it is slowing down your backstroke, or whether it is really focusing on a point on the break shot, which is very important, by the way. Focusing, you should not focus on any ball more than you focus on, you know, where you're picking your point on the break shot. But that'll be a tip for probably in the future. It really allows you to really fundamentally break down your game in a aspect and just work on that and really focus on doing that while you're playing your matches. And I think you can really get some good improvement to your game in a small petri dish sized sample size that I think it could really help work on a lot of the things that are really hard to do when you're only practicing and playing in tournaments. So that'll be my tip, is to really, you know, every week that you show up to league, find something that you think you could work on and really focus on that. And if you can't get it in one week, work on it the next week too, and maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But each time that you go to league, work on something and make sure that you're really focusing your game on that. And at the end of the day, I mean, league doesn't really mean that much. I mean, nobody takes league too seriously. So really use it to try to better your game in some aspect. Cody?
Yes. That was a great tip, Nate. So I, you know, thinking about it over the last few minutes here, just something that comes to mind when I think of something that's helped improve my game. Over the last year, say, I think I roughly went up about 50 points in the last year. You know, one big thing I think is players should not be afraid to ask to play other people. I run a challenge list myself just locally. And, you know, with tournaments, with, you know, TSPN, we've talked about in the past on other episodes, you know, there's all these things that everyone has at hand, especially with social media, that, you know, don't be afraid to ever just reach out to someone, even if you don't know them, maybe you've heard of them. It's nothing to be afraid of, and just say, hey, I want to shoot some pool. Not everybody's asking to play for $500, $1,000 a set. It's not, that's definitely not what's going on. You know, most people at this level or our level, we want, by helping someone lower, it actually can help us as well. I know there's that thing when you play lower people, you don't shoot as well. Sometimes that myth that goes out there. But in this case, it's different. If someone lower reaches out to someone higher and says, hey, I'd like to, you know, meet up and shoot for a couple hours with you and, you know, pick your brain a little bit. And that goes also the other way. The higher players, you know, should accept that as well. But I'm just talking from experience from running a challenge list. Everything's like a race to nine, alternate break. I look at this list and I've had it for about 4 years and I literally see these guys playing each other that have no clue who each other are. In most cases, they might heard of the person's name and they're meeting up and doing their race to nine and reporting back. And it's, you know, it's just, these things can happen anywhere. You don't need a list. You don't need all that stuff. You literally just, you have social media, reach out and ask someone, let's play. Or when you're at league, you know, you could definitely set something up with somebody.
Yeah. And that's why go ahead.
I was just gonna say, just be open and that's what social media is here. It's allowed us to reach out to people we may not have been able to before without having a phone number, you know?
Yeah, it's not just for arguing with your crazy conservative uncle or your oblivious 20-something-year-old liberal nephew. You know, you could use it for positive things, too. It doesn't just have to be for arguing politics. I know that's a surprise to some people, but it is, I promise. Actually, let me expand upon that for a second, too, if you don't mind. I get a lot of friend requests from all over the country now, and a lot of them are, I would assume a lot of it's because of the podcast, and that's totally cool. I will usually be friends with just about anybody, regardless of whether or not you want to talk or whether you just want to, I don't know, friend request me. With that being said, for everybody who sends me a friend request, I normally go to your wall and I'll look at the kind of things that you post. And if you're posting a bunch of like crazy left or right wing conspiracy theories or just, you know, bashing the other side, that I got enough of that on my friends list already. I don't want to be seeing any more of that. So, I mean, feel free that if anybody wants to friend me, go ahead. I mean, I'm perfectly okay with friending, you know, 99% of people. But if I go to your wall and see a bunch of politics stuff, regardless of the side, I'm not going to accept it. I just don't want to see any of that. And it doesn't make any sense to add somebody as a friend and then basically not, you know, just unfollow them right away. That just doesn't make sense. So feel free to reach out and friend me if you want. I'm perfectly okay with that. Just realize that I'm not going to accept anybody who's 95% of their posts are political. And that's just, I just don't want to see that. So that's a little sidebar that, you know, I figured if you reached out to me in the past and sent me a friend request and I didn't accept it, that's probably why. Just know that. Anyways, continue, Cody.
Okay, adding on to that, what's your excuse for not sending or confirming my friend request?
I just don't like you. I just don't like you.
I need Rob back.
Yeah, we need Rob.
Rob, if you're listening, come back.
You're not listening, but I wish you would. We miss you. I guess I have one more thing that I want to do, and that is thank a sponsor for this week. And for this week, I am going to thank my sponsor, Bill Pelham. He has been partnering with the podcast with Billiard Factory, and he sent the gloves that I reviewed recently. And I think we knotted down that the next thing we're going to review is chalk. So whenever we get around to confirming that, the point where we review some chalk. And if you like the podcast and you are going to be buying any of these things anyways, it really would be appreciated if you would support some of the sponsors to the podcast, if you could and would. They help make the podcast happen. And I know that I'm not nearly as consistent as I would like to be or have been in the past. And a lot of that is because not having a job anymore. And going back to school, I don't make money off of this podcast. And I do this basically for fun. Some of the sponsors of the podcast do financially support the podcast, but I do not ask very much to be a sponsor to the podcast. And it's not in any sort of way getting anywhere close to paying bills. They're basically paying for the costs that it basically costs me to continue doing the podcast through hosting website fees and, you know, buying a lot of the equipment that it took me to get started with this. So really the sponsors that help out with the podcast, they're greatly appreciated. And if you're going to buy a billiard glove anyways, or maybe some chalk anyways, give a thought maybe to supporting the podcast with Bill and Billiard Factory. And Bill is actually going to give some discounts on all the products that I review for the podcast. So you'll even save a little bit of money off of retail. So that might be a little mutually beneficial to both you and him and the podcast by, I guess, connections. So thank you, Bill, and thank you, Billiard Factory. And with that, Cody, thank you for joining me so much. And I cannot wait to get out to Moscone with you and do a bunch of fun podcasting and partying.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Nate. It's always great to be on here. And yes, podcast and party.
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Party then podcast.
Absolutely. We'll get all sloppy drunk and create podcasts. How does it sound?
I'm in 100%.
Sounds like a plan. All right, Cody. Thanks again for joining me.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later, Nate.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com, and Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.